you can sort of see the genesis of the current proposal. If you cast your mind back to 9/11 in 2001, one of the problems that the internet had in the United States was that there were several hundred ISPs located in the Twin Towers. And when the planes crashed into the Twin Towers and brought the buildings down, that caused severe disruption to the internet across the entire country. So one of the things that this proposal is supposed to enable is to have this Department of Homeland Security committee and perhaps presidential orders saying to ISPs, look, having several hundred of you in one building is probably a really bad idea unless you've gone through the innards of your design of your network to make sure that if that building disappears, you aren't going to impact the entire nation.
So following this line of thinking, seeking to declare the internet a national asset of the United States is about physically securing internet infrastructure against potential threats. However, a few US senators have been keen to invoke 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina, typical rhetoric wherein we cannot wait for a cyber Katrina and must prepare our defences, that we're facing new kinds of enemies, cyber warriors, terrorists, spies and criminals. Mark Newton says the actual physical threat of cyber terrorism is greatly exaggerated, and that use of the term cyber usually indicates an ignorance about the internet.
I think most of the threat is drummed up by companies who make money out of selling security software. Like, how many people are going to die in a cyber war? Approximately zero. I don't think it's really a credible threat. When you look at what can be accomplished with what's often called cyber terrorism, it's like, oh, look, that website's unavailable. So it's more of an annoyance than terror.
Geordie Guy, Vice Chair of Electronic Frontiers Australia, believes these US actions are a massive overreaction that could impact on the structural integrity of the internet. So in the scenario that the president shuts down the internet, what consequences could we see in terms of security and financial systems?
Well, so much of important infrastructure on the global internet is geographically located in the United States. If we saw a circumstance whereby perhaps a future United States government decided that dissent or unrest within the United States was reason enough to shut down part of the internet to, say, prevent a riot, we might see circumstances in other parts of the globe, including Australia, where important services that Australians use are shut off. This is really quite concerning. It, I guess, goes to the thrust of the issue that treating the internet like a US-based asset obviates the fact that the rest of the world relies on it and relies on the United States keeping it open and free.
And as far as the US pursuing this power and influence over the internet, let's say the bill passes. Would this control of the internet for security, well, on security grounds, is that likely to set a precedent for all nations heading into the, you know, this century?
One of the things that really terrifies us a lot of the time is how much the world governments play off each other in terms of setting bad examples and following them. We've seen circumstances where now the United States is classifying the internet as a US national asset. We've seen Australia characterise it as a uniquely Australian media regulation problem. Every single time someone comes up with a bad idea at the national level for the internet, it gives other countries excuses to do the same thing. We're proposing an internet censorship system in Australia, and now South Africa has come out in the last couple of weeks and said they're looking at doing the same thing based off our actions. So it really is concerning seeing a government like the United States, which is usually so forward on online freedom, make a silly mistake like this and literally throw down the gauntlet to the rest of the globe to come up with a similar dumb idea.